Welcome to Total Wine & More. It's much more than a wine store. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
When people talk about Total Wine & More, they get a little carried away. We're just a big, friendly place run by people with a passion for wine and beer. See, we travel the world to find the best wines from the best regions, and we sell them at the lowest prices anywhere.
And friendly, helpful experts at every turn.
You know what? Maybe we are the eighth wonder of the world.
Shop in-store or online at TotalWine.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, poo. It appears that I am not going to get my intro again, but I am online tonight. Welcome to Ladies of the Watch. I'm Julie. I'm your host tonight. There it goes.
Contra Radio Network presents Ladies of the Watch.
I got your back, girl. I swear, in the last 50 shows, there's never been a start ever the same.
All right, go on radio silence.
Okay, that was done. Thank you, saving my butt, because it doesn't work for me. Sorry, Ladies of the Watch, I'm Julie, that was Dawn. Tonight we'll be talking about rabbits, bunnies, bun-buns, bunny foo-foos, whatever you want to call them, for Shit Hits the Fan and for homesteading. If you're a prepper, a rabbit is one of the primary staples to a homesteader, in my personal opinion. I've raised rabbits for years. It's simple and economical, and two does and one buck should produce about 180 pounds of meat per year. Now, it's one of the simplest things you can do on your homestead, and not only do they require a little attention, but they do provide this amount of meat. I will have a guest speaker tonight calling in a little bit. Her name is Ryan Wolf from Wolf Song Rabbitry over here in my neck of the woods. She's been a guest once before, but we had kind of a rough start on that. We were all new, and so we're going to we're going to get another shot. And she was kind enough to tell me she would call in and talk. She's gets off work at 6, so she's going to drive home like crazy and then call in.
Got a question for you, Julie.
Sure.
How would you describe rabbit's meat taste and texture?
I would say rabbit meat taste and texture is a lot like chicken, but that being said, it's like the leg meat or the dark meat on a chicken or a turkey in texture and taste. I don't find it particularly offensive. I don't think it's any different. My kids, we raised them on it for a while, because, and we didn't want them to go, ooh, rabbit, I'm not eating it. So we didn't ever tell them what it was. But we just made it into soup and tacos and broiled it and put it over, you know, however we did it. And one night my oldest was probably about 10. He goes, Mom, this chicken is really good. And I finally said, well, that's rabbit. And he stopped chewing in mid-chew. And he thought about it for a minute. He goes, huh, okay. And he finished eating it. And it's really good. Now, that being said, I'm one of those that gets a little bit squeamish. When I kill the rabbits, I kill them. Nobody else here will kill one. And so once in a while, if I fry it or something, it'll have just kind of a little bit different taste, and I'll get a little like, ew, this is rabbit, but I still eat it. Most of the time, I use it in soup, tacos, anything you put chicken in, you can grind it, you can mix it with sausage, and it's really good. It's exceptional sausage. So that's my two cents on that one. And that's why we keep raising them. If you do it right and you grow a rabbit garden or you grow a there's a book out there by Boyd Craven Jr. It's called Beyond the Pellet, and he talks about raising feed for your rabbits so you don't have to feed a diet purely of pellets, because then it gets quite expensive, because rabbits are great wasters of food. A lot of them like to dig in their dishes looking for snacks or treats or things, and then they get kind of messy. And that's a good book to go look at. So tonight, while we're waiting for Ryan, let's talk about rabbits just a little bit. And I thought that I would talk about the first thing I'd talk about is the most popular breeds for rabbits. One of the first projects I ever started were rabbits, and they produce, you know, excellent tasting meat at very little cost. But my kids didn't want to kill them. They didn't want to eat them because they were cute. And that seems to be a issue. But I figured I'd give it a shot. And we went out and looked on Craigslist and found some rabbit cages for about $20. And I bought them. And at that time, people were giving rabbits away. Nobody was eating them, hardly at all. So I went on Craigslist, and I got about 10 rabbits for free. And I got them for the next 2 or 3 years for free. And we ate, and we learned all about rabbits and all about what not to do with rabbits. And, you know, you lose when you have a homestead, you lose animals. It's just a fact of life.
You know, somebody listening to this show is going to go, oh, my God, I gave her my pot bunny.
Yeah, well, we're not talking about cats. We're talking about meat. You know, we've talked about eating dogs.
Understood, but I thought that they were giving you a fluffy to go ahead and keep forever and ever, and you turned her into a shish kebab.
No, I did. In college, I did my thesis on a utopic society, and I talked about raising animals for meat, and we had to solve two problems. And I think I've mentioned this in a past show, but I took all the dogs and cats in the dog pound in the whole United States and the homeless shelters, and I said we could feed all the homeless by using the dogs and cats in the animal shelters. And I had a whole plan laid out, shots, and they had adoption chances, and if they didn't get adopted, they could go rotate into the meat department, and I got death threats. I wore a shirt that said cat, the other white meat. And
well, you know, here's the interesting thing about that, though. I mean, once you move out of America and you go into other cultures, cat and dog do not taste bad at all. Cats, here in America, they would taste horrible. I'm going to be perfectly honest, because the diet we feed them.
Yeah.
But the diet that you feed them over there in Asia, they actually taste really good. And I know I'm going to have somebody out there sending a death threat to John. He's already pissed off at me anyways, people. So go ahead. Lay it on him. But the thing
is, my dad's had it.
I wouldn't even get homeless. I'd have to serve
Thailand
that as like gourmet cuisine.
Uh-huh. And he was in Thailand. They used to eat dog and cat on a stick. And he's just not bad.
And rat.
And rat. Yeah, nonpla. Dehydrated rat over rice or something, fish heads or something like that. But he said it's not too bad. But, you know, people, we get so uptight about our pets and things. And I'm one. I mean, I don't baby talk my pets much. But rabbits are different. And, yeah, I have a hard time killing rabbits sometimes. And how I got around that was I can go out and get free rabbits and such, and the people like, but I don't want them killed. I don't want them eaten. So I said, okay, I won't. And I breed that rabbit, and I get all the babies out, and I eat the babies. And when the mom gets old enough after she's given, you know, 10, 20 litters, whatever she gives, I let her go into the old rabbit pen where they live out the rest of their days, which is usually means an owl gets them within 4 or 5 days. But they have a good life. You know, they get out there, they dig holes, and they do whatever they want to do. So then I eat the babies, and I'll pick out a new doe out of the babies, and I'll do the same thing. So I can kind of offset my pet urge with my killing urge by only killing baby rabbits, not the little teeny fuzzy cute baby rabbits, but, you know, ones that have gotten to broiler size. So there's you know, lots of good meat rabbits out there. I like the medium size, which weigh about 8 to 10 pounds. I call them pan-sized because you could go for, like, a big one, a Flemish giant, and they'll weigh, like, up to 20 pounds. But it takes longer to raise them. And food per size, I don't think it's cost-effective. They eat more, and their fryers at 7 to 9 weeks weigh about the same as the medium breeds. And if you're looking at these, you can be looking at your rabbits with an eye to what do you want to do with your rabbits. I mean, are you going to raise them just for meat? What are you going to do with the fur? I mean, as preppers, we don't waste things. Are we using the poop for fertilizer for our gardens? It's excellent fertilizer. My tomatoes were about 8 feet tall when I was planting them in rabbit poo. I use the fur to make moccasins. I use them for hats. One of these days, I had all these furs in the freezer when my freezer went out this year. They all rot. It was so nasty.
You know, a lot of people don't even think about some of the more manual labor, if you will, that you can use fur for. You can go ahead, and if you have enough left over and everything, and you've got yourself an area that needs to be extra insulated, it's a great insulator as long as you're not having to do the entire wall, you know, this
right.
type of thing, around door areas and this type of thing, because that's what it was meant to do. It was the fur with the skin is meant to keep the heat out and the cold in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Had a buddy of mine who actually used to take his, when he'd go hunting, it didn't matter what animal he got, he normally went for varmints and this type of thing, but sometimes he'd get a coyote, and he loved that. Because what he'd do is he'd take the fur and he'd strip it and he'd stretch it and he'd stretch it and scrape it, and then he'd get it to the point where it was kind of like almost a pole-looking thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then what he would do is he would wrap his external pipes, the small parts of the pipes that have to be out of the ground, he'd wrap that in the winter.
And the fur.
And he never had a frozen pipe. He swore by it.
Huh.
I don't know if it worked because he just thought it would, or it was just. But if you think about it, that's one of the things it's supposed to do. Is it's supposed to go ahead and keep, you know, insulated. I know that, and I know there's going to be somebody who calls in and says, "Excuse me, but that has to do with the warm-blooded atmosphere." Okay, yeah, I get that. I'm just saying it worked.
Right. Well, sorry, I'm chewing. I had to run back home for this one, but. Yeah, and there's so much we can do. I was going through my furs today, the ones that I have, and we were having a yard sale because I'm getting ready to move, and I had a whole box of rabbit, and I had some coyote and a little bit of wolf and fox and all this, and this lady came up, and she was like, "Oh, my gosh, what are you doing with all these?" I said, "Well, I was going to make hats or gloves or whatever, but I'm moving to Florida." And I'm trying to figure out if I really need all this stuff. But, you know, I could sell them and make them and sell them on Etsy or do something to supplement. My rule of thumb is if I make money, like if I sell the rabbit babies, the money from that goes to feeding the rabbits and supporting the rabbits. If I sell goats or goat milk or goat cheese, the money from that, I split it off and I'll take the money that goes back into the product back into the goats, and so they have to support themselves because that you can't just throw good money after bad. You've got to try to keep it solvent, and so there's so many things you can do. But they loved the rabbit fur, and I ended up selling a big box of it to this lady who wanted to do crafts and things like that. And I've held on to these boxes for 12 years. I've had all different kinds. But now that I'm moving, I'm just thinking about selling them. Up here, a rabbit goes for about $20 a piece for a baby. And if you get into the breeding, which Ryan does, that's the gal that's going to come on here pretty soon, she can get upwards of anywhere from $50 to $150 a rabbit, depending on the breed and the show quality and if they get legs in the 4-H or whatever they do. And I'm not a shower, so I don't know that type of deal, but there's a lot of people that are starting to look at rabbits as a little more seriously. A lot of people, like I was saying before, eat the rabbits about 7 to 9 weeks. They look a little tiny to me. One of my favorite ones are Harlequins. They're like a calico cat color, but they're a rabbit. And I like them. Their skins, their furs are really flashy, so I can use them for my different projects, and they're beautiful. But if you don't want to keep your fur and you want to sell it, right now people are selling raw furs for about $1.50 a pound. And that's a skin will weigh anywhere from 1 to 1.5, 2 pounds. So if you're doing, 20 rabbits a pop, and you're eating the meat or you're selling the meat, and then you're selling the skins, you're doing pretty good. If you want to be totally self-sufficient, you can raise dogs and cats on rabbit. A large breed dog will have about a half a rabbit a day, and then it goes down from there, a medium-sized dog to a small dog. And it's really good for them. They eat the bones, the fur, all of it, and it keeps them really, really healthy, which was kind of a plan for us alternative if shit hits the fan. I'd be doing enough rabbits. One rabbit usually throws a litter about 12, but some people have had up to 16. But usually people don't keep 12 on a doe. I'm not sure if they have enough teats. That was one I'd have to ask Ryan. But you can split them off, and other does will take rabbits from other mothers very easily. So it's pretty good. I mean, like I said, you can get 180 pounds of meat from one buck and two does. If you want to expand, you just keep babies. You can breed a rabbit at about, I do it at 6 months. But it depends on the rabbit. So if you, how do you, I'm getting off track here. My brain is going. So let's talk about, we've talked about the furs and what you can do with those. So what else could you do to profit from raising rabbits besides eating the meat? Let's just use a chinchilla rabbit just for an example. They're a good-sized rabbit. They weigh, let's say, 3 to 10 pounds. Live weight, they'll cost you about $20 if you went out and bought it. If you raise it yourself, it costs about 25 to 35 cents or just a little more to raise. And you might pay a dollar if you're buying one per pound to get one by the time they're live weight. If you raise a 3-pound fryer, it takes you about an hour to 2 hours, if they don't get sick, to 2 hours, and that's it. Depending on how many rabbits you have. Because when you go out there, you're puttering around. If you'll take your time and you'll clean the cages or you'll throw some feed out there. But if you have it all done, They don't take any time at all. Once you butcher them, you're going to clean out your cages and get them ready for the next ones. But for the most part, it takes no time at all. And if you free range your rabbits, which means you just let them run loose and take care of themselves in a big penned area where they can get their own forage and such, it costs you nothing. What you let them run wild, you throw them a few things, you know, in the afternoon, carrot tops, whatever you're going to supplement with, and that's it. The only thing you do is butcher. Whoops, I believe Ryan's here. Just a moment. Hi, is this Ryan?
Yep.
Hi, Ryan. Okay, welcome.
Hello.
We were just talking about, I was going to go into rabbit breeds, but we were talking about how much time it takes to raise rabbits. And I said, you know, I was just talking about free ranging them.
Okay.
Versus cages. But it takes about an hour to raise a baby rabbit to 3 pounds. If you're saying, you know, you're breaking it down into how many rabbits you raise to that weight. Because if you're free ranging, you don't do anything, basically, unless you go in and handle them and things. But I'm going to stop there for a minute and introduce you. And have you talked to us a little bit? Because my brain is getting distracted. I've got things going on here. So this is Ryan Wolf from Wolf Song Rabbitry and Homestead.
Yep.
And why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Ryan?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what to say.
Well, you raise rabbits for show, number one, right?
Raising for show. I'm working myself up to butcher on my own so I can have them for meat. Right now, I'm selling them to a lady with a business where she turns them into dog food. So that's what happens to my culls.
Okay. Really?
But I'm going to start going up to her place. I'm starting this Tuesday, and I'm going to start working with her, getting me to where I can do the deed myself.
Okay. Well, I can always help you if you want. It's not a big deal. I was telling them it's kind of tough to do that sometimes, but I keep the parents as my pets, quote unquote, and I can butcher the babies.
Yeah, that's what I do too. I mean, I've had to take up adults because they're not performing well enough.
Right.
But I let them take care of them. Like I can't do it.
All right, so let's talk about rabbit breeds. What's your favorite rabbits? I know you raise
Silver Fox.
Yeah. Silver Fox. So tell me about Silver Fox.
What's that?
Tell me about Silver Fox.
Well, they're a breed that were developed in the United States. They're like the third or fourth breed that was developed here in the 1920s. No one really knows what went into making them, because the gentleman who developed the breed didn't keep records. They were all in his head, and when he passed away, that was gone. They come in 5 colors, although some people have been working on a 6. Only one can be shown. I like them
black?
Because they have the same fur. Yeah, the 5 are black, blue, chocolate, lilac, and white. And some people have been breeding for a red.
I know somebody's been breeding for red, but he breeds for more white in his. If you don't know, look on a website for Silver Fox. They have a darker undercoat, and then they have silver on the tips of their fur, and they're beautiful rabbits.
They have the silvering guard hair, so it's a longer hair than the rest.
Well, and the silvers, according to the Livestock Conservancy, has one of the highest dress out weights at like nearly 65% of bone per meat ratio, which is really, really good for a rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
When they're covered in fur, they look huge. But once you get that fur off, they look most rabbits are pretty lean. So
yeah.
And I grew Californians and New Zealands, and like I said before, Harlequins, and I love my Harlequins. Those are my favorite. But the New Zealands are about the easiest breed to find around, New Zealands and Californians. They have the Californians have the white body with the black ears, and the New Zealands are mostly white, right?
New Zealand's come in white, black, red, and then broken and try.
Oh, that's right, the spotted.
And I actually had a kind of a bluish, because you can get odd colors that pop up too. I had a New Zealand that was kind of blue.
Oh, wow. Well, a New Zealand will grow to be about 9 to 12 pounds, or the buck will be about 8 to 10 pounds. And the Californians go in at about 8 to 10 pounds when they're full grown. So what does your silvers get to about?
What was it? It's like 9 to 12 for the does, or is it 10 to 12? I have the paper in my house. I'm
okay.
Out in the rabbit area right now, actually.
Okay. So these are still considered mid-sized breeds.
11 for the buck. And you will have ones that, don't make weight or go overweight.
Right. Well, we were talking about, mid-sized to large breeds. I haven't brought up the large or the small yet. I'm still kind of talking about the others. There's Americans, and they're considered a heritage breed, and they're kind of, they're on the endangered list too, I think. Aren't most of the rabbits?
No.
Whoops.
You have your Rexes and mini Rexes and Dutch.
Right.
They're so prolific.
And I've seen a lot of little ones out here. I don't see a lot of the larger breeds for sale anymore, but I think it's because people are getting on the rabbit bandwagon. Like I was saying before, I used to get them free all the time. Just people, you could take all you wanted. People didn't want them, and now they're really getting hard to find.
Well, people are asking way too much money for them.
Right.
And people want to sell minutes for, 30, 40 bucks.
That's crazy to me. But I have a friend over in the East Coast, and he raises silvers and champagnes and one other, and I can't remember which one it is.
Silver fox.
Hey, ladies, you have a caller.
Oh, do we? Yay. Hello?
Hello.
Hey. This is Mike, right?
No, this is Gary.
Oh, Gary. I'm sorry, I didn't recognize. You sound a lot like Mike. Well, howdy. Our guest tonight's Ryan. We're talking rabbits. So,
we had those for a while.
Did you? How'd you like it?
They were pretty good. We were just too busy to keep them.
Well, and sometimes they're usually pretty easy, but when you're getting started, they can be tough. Some of them can be fragile. Ryan, when she was starting out, we were talking, and I've had rabbits for years, and then last couple years, mine wouldn't breed at all. And I kept calling, she's going, I'm having baby rabbits out my ears. She said, this doe just had 12. This doe just had
They don't take long to reproduce.
Well, mine wouldn't do it. I didn't get a single baby. Well, I had one litter that I raised, and that was it. The does killed the rest of them. They wouldn't breed, they wouldn't take, the buck wouldn't, they were fighting. It was crazy. I had picked them up, though, and I think that's part of the deal. I had picked them up off of the Craigslist because I was trying to get some younger stock because my other does were getting older. And I think I just got some bad does. So, but another breed you can have is a Champagne d'Argent, And it's one of the oldest recorded rabbit breeds. It goes back to the 17th century. It's raised for both fur and meat with a good meat to bone ratio. It's known in the club as a Black Angus of rabbit meats. They're good mothers, they're a good starter rabbit, and they're absolutely gorgeous. They look a lot like a silver, but they're more white. They're kind of a reverse silver. They're kind of a whitish gray with black, it looks like black guard hairs, kind of.
They're a lot heavier silvered than like a silver fox.
Right, and they're beautiful. In 1960, there was a new breed called Florida White, and they're kind of an all-purpose breed, but they're a little bit smaller. If you're only raising rabbits for, like, one or two people and you have limited space, the Florida White might be a really good one. They get between 6 and 8 pounds with a lighter bone structure that will have a much higher dress-out weight. So it kind of depends on where you're living and what you're looking at. Those are the main ones that I use. But we could go into smaller rabbits. Although I think one more that might be worth is a Palomino. I had a couple of those and they did really well. And they're kind
also
of a
lilac.
What?
There's also a breed called Lilac. They're kind of a smaller breed, but they are very good mothers. My friend raises them, and she gets them coming out her ears, literally. They'll have like 8 or 9 to a litter, and they can raise them all.
Okay. Wow. Well, and, you know, there's a lot of people that eat Rexes and the smaller breeds. You guys can get the kind with the floppy ears. My brain is shutting off right now trying to get lops.
English lop.
Yeah.
There's a lot of
and they have the long ears. You can get mini lops. You can get Rexes. You can get mini Rexes. You can tailor your rabbitry towards your own specific uses. I mean, Ryan's come a long way since I met her. In fact, she surpassed me in the rabbit business many years ago. But
right now, a lot of those are babies.
Are they? She even gave me a rabbit, and that one that you gave me, I had two. Or you gave me two, right?
Yeah, I gave you a doe, and then I gave you a buck that looked like a silver fox that
right.
I caught in the neighborhood.
Yes, she goes out and catches wild rabbits or rabbits that people have turned loose, and she gives them away or keeps them for her thing. She gave me this most beautiful rabbit. It was a little broken female. She had one blue eye and one brown eye, didn't she? And that
her
puppy
eyes
was
like marble.
Yeah, she was the freaking meanest rabbit you ever saw in your life. She was like Satan. She would attack my does in their cages. She got out. She would get out every chance she could get, and we couldn't catch her because she had been wild. And she wouldn't let us catch her. And we had our setups with all our cages in a fenced area so she could go under the cages or behind the cages where I couldn't get her. And I could always catch her, but I had to be really sneaky. And she had one of my other females get out. She tore her ears off. She shredded them. She would just attack. They would all be huddled in the corner just shaking and terrified of this rabbit. It was freaking meanest rabbit ever, huh?
Did you butcher it?
No, she was one of my only does, and she was young. I was trying to get a litter out of her. but she wouldn't. She's the one that had one litter that year, and then no more after that. She liked my old buck. I had a buck that was, I don't know how old he was. He was decrepit, but she wouldn't let anybody else near her, and everybody else was afraid of her. So now I know why Ryan gave her to me.
I didn't know anything about her. I called her and I was like, I'm going to find this one a home rather than have it butchered.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't butcher her. I wanted to, but now for me, I do meat mutts too. You just if you're breeding just for fur and just for meat, you don't want to go out and buy expensive rabbits. You just go get something that's crossed with something else. That's what we call them, is meat mutts, and they're good. And if you keep your cages clean and your rabbits healthy, usually they pay off. But like I say, you have good years and bad years. So Ryan, yeah. talk about breeding, like seasonal. You know, how would you breed your rabbits? What kind of setup would you use? How often do you breed them? And
how often depends on the doe. Because I mean, if she can bounce back fast from a litter, you can breed her back sooner. But if she's worn down, you got to give her a break and let her, you know, recoup herself. Like I have a doe that has a nest box in right now. I'm not sure if she's bred. I'm kind of hoping she isn't because of the heat that we're coming start getting. So for me, the season is over.
Mm-hmm. So when do you breed? You breed in the spring.
Hmm?
You only breed in the spring?
I breed through the winter. I breed from fall through late spring.
Okay.
And then they don't do anything during the summer.
They don't take anyway,
the
usually. They're too hot.
Yeah, your bucks go sterile in the summer.
Mm-hmm. And if they get too fat, you can't breed them, or they don't take. And if they get too hot, so how do you have your rabbits set up for the heat in the summer? Because that's one thing I struggle with up here, even though we're up high. Still gets hot. Now I'm moving to Florida, and I would like to have rabbits, and so I've got to rethink my whole rabbitry configuration.
We actually had ours in the state in a barn, and we had a fan blowing up, so. And they still get hot. And they can still get a lot.
Okay.
Well, I have like an enclosure built over top of mine. Mine are in separate cages. And then I have a couple of fans on them, and on the really hot days, I bring out frozen water bottles.
Right. That's what I do, too. We also have tiles that I'll stick in the fridge, like a marble, and then I'll stick those in there so they can get off the wire and sit on them. But I've used frozen water bottles. Mine chew them, though.
Mine do, too, but if you just get, you know, the cheap, you know, like the 84-cent 2 liters from, like, Walmart, they're not that expensive to replace.
Okay. So... How about your, a rabbit has a litter every 31 days about. It's almost like clockwork. You can count down to that.
I put my nest box in at day 28. They can go from anywhere from day 28 up to like day 35.
Okay.
So, and then I tend to not bring my does back until the babies are 2 months old.
Okay. Well, and I don't...
Is that about the time you butcher the babies anyway, when they're by 8 weeks, 9 weeks?
I have a litter that just is turning 9 weeks. They are between 4.5 and 5 pounds. I'm keeping two out of them because they're good for for showing, but the rest go to the butcher.
How old do you wait before you butcher them?
I butcher between 8 and 12 weeks.
Okay.
And I
sometimes
I switch
them a little
because they're
not. Go ahead. Yeah, it seems like you get one that's real old. They're kind of tough no matter how you cook them, but they're between that 8 and 12 weeks, they're pretty tender.
Yeah. And I sell them between that age because the lady I sell them to, I get more money for them at that age.
At what age?
Between the 8 and 12 weeks.
Okay. See, I like mine a little bit bigger. Mine, just the belly flap and all the rest of that, they're just so small on that. You know, they look so skinny and tiny. Because we were butchering out some of the mature ones, and so I got used to seeing them at a bigger weight. So I tend to like mine a little bit bigger than that. But I don't fry them. I usually cook off the meat and use it for... You know, just like ground chicken or whatever. So, to me, it makes more sense for me to grow them a little bit long, grow them out a little bit longer. But if you have a 2 does and a buck, you can get about 40 to 50 rabbits a year. I breed about every 90 days, sometimes a little bit less, but I don't overbreed my animals anyway, like goats. I only breed them once a year. You can get 2 breedings out of them, but I think it breaks them down. Chickens, I don't force them to lay over the winter and that sort of thing. So it's just, it's kind of a personal decision on those. But the one thing that I run across is if I raise my fryers longer, but like if you wait until they're like 7 or 8 months old, then they're pretty high priced. You know, it's expensive to feed them to that that age. But like I say, I grow a rabbit garden and other things. But if I was really serious about it as a business or as doing this as low cost as possible, I would do the same thing. I would butcher them at 8 weeks and save my garden for the next batch. And then they get old about two, three years, and the meat is tougher, but then you got a better skin. So it depends on what you're breeding for.
Now, when they get that old, can you pressure cook them and make them any tender or not?
You can. I know people who pressure cook jars of rabbits all the time. And I've never noticed a huge difference, but my recipes for rabbit are pretty standard. I'll crock pot them because I'm working all day.
I was going to ask if you crock potted them or not.
Yeah, I do. It's just
do that
easier.
No, but I'm not sure if I would do that to an old buck. They tend to be really hard.
They get really what?
They get really tough. And they get really because of all the testosterone and everything.
Right. And I was going to say something. I can't remember what I was going to say now. Like I say, I crock pot them. I have a friend that pressure cans them. I've tried frying them, but a rabbit is really tough. There's very little fat on a rabbit. They're mostly meat and muscle. And so we tried one night when we first were starting out with rabbits. I took our fryers, and they were older, too, so they weren't like 8 to 10 weeks. And I cut them up, and I breaded them, and I fried them up. Well, we just ate them, and we could not chew. Couldn't pull it off the bone, and we just tossed it all away. So when you're working with a rabbit, the idea is low and slow, or you can fry them, but then I would bake them for a little bit to kind of on a lower temp, just a little bit to soften them up a little bit.
A guy I worked with years ago, he would fry them up, but man, them things would fall apart when you ate them.
Yeah, and you've got to have them now. And maybe, yeah, they're young. And the ones, I don't know, I had a, we couldn't even pull it off the meat, off the bone. It was really crazy. So, let's see.
Now, is it true that you only can butcher rabbits in the months that have R in it?
Don't they all have
it? Well, here they say you can't butcher rabbits unless they have the
it's like
in
May,
mind.
June, July. That's because they're hot. I mean, it's hot and they're not.
Well, no, they say there's a something that burrows in the skin or whatever, and in the months that doesn't have the R, you don't have to worry about that.
Huh?
I've never heard of that.
I haven't either. Not up here. I know you can't eat wild rabbit. Sometimes we have trichinosis, and wild jackrabbits have it, get a worm in them, and so you gotta shoot them and then check their livers. And I do that anyway. When I butcher, I always check the liver, And the internal organs on
rabbits,
the
ones you're raising, don't get those?
Not if you keep a clean rabbitry and they're in cages. I would look at them a little more carefully if I was running them wild or loose in a pen. Because they're on the ground, and then they have more chances of getting things. Because they're running through feces and all the rest of that stuff. But rabbits are pretty clean. If they're in a cage, they usually go in the same corner. So I've not had, like, a real horrible time when they were running loose in a pen. They tend to do the same thing. They'll find a corner or something, and everybody will go in that corner. But I still look at the livers and the internal organs. If they are spotted, you don't eat them. And you look at the lungs, you know, there's different rabbit diseases. But
well, really, almost on any animal, when you butcher it, you want to look at the livers and the kidneys and see what color they are.
Right.
See if they got drift or anything on them, you know.
And a healthy rabbit, it looks just like liver from the store, you know, red and dark and smooth, and but they get coccidosis, they get all sorts of different diseases, and they get speckled livers and all the rest. Now, that one, for me, if I had a speckled liver, I wouldn't eat the rabbit, but I have heard from other people that you just don't eat the organ meat, you just eat the rabbit, and you're fine. I personally would not. I don't know if that's right or not.
I know a friend told me years back, on any animal you butcher, he butchers a lot of wild hogs. He said you always look at the liver. If it's deep red, you got a good animal. If it's pale and sore, you might as well turn the whole meat away.
Right. And that's a pretty good rule of thumb. If you got your rabbits and your chickens running together, you're going to have more risk of getting something from the chickens. You know, if I was raising rabbits for meat, depending on your situation, if you have a big enough area, I'd run them free range. But if you don't have a big enough area, I would cage them. And when you cage them, they don't get.
So how would you free range a rabbit when they run off? I mean, how do you keep them around if you don't?
I have a big pen. I've got an acre, and we fence off a quarter acre. And then we'll go through and dig some holes for like a burrow deep. And then I'll bury a dog kennel with a little run to it. And I'll put straw or whatever in it. And it's in the ground. And then I lay chicken wire all the way around, or woven wire, something like that, about 3 feet in. And then we bury it. So because they always burrow next to something that I found. I mean, like up against a fence, up against the wall, up against a rock, up against something.
You have to worry about coon or something killing them or not?
Well, it depends on your area. We have had our share of losing stuff, but once it was a cougar, and when they're free range, they're still pretty, well, mine have been wary. If you raise them as babies, they're just as wary as anything else. But we've had a mink or a coon or a possum come in and try to get them. But for the most part, I haven't lost very many. The cougar did the most damage, and I think they were just pulling them out to play with. They weren't even eating them half the time. So
yes, we got fox and coon. They would just start ravishing them, you know.
Right. Well, and if you put a box in there or a tile or something where they can't get them from through the wire, in a cage, they do pretty good. I don't know, Ryan. Do you have problems down there?
I've actually lost some.
You have?
Not since I've moved to this place, but where I lived before, I had a couple of pit bulls that came in, and they got a couple of my rabbits.
Really?
Yeah.
And I've heard that. There's lots of rabbit sites on Facebook. If you want to talk about rabbits or if you want to learn more about rabbits, Backyard Meat Rabbits is a site on Facebook, and they're generally, I should say, pretty good to newbies. If you have questions, they'll answer your questions. If you want to, they talk about rabbit illnesses, they talk about babies, they show rabbit porn, you know, pictures of rabbits and say, is this normal? And they show dead babies, and they talk about how all sorts of aspects of rabbit raising. And if you're really serious about it, go join Backyard Meat Rabbits. For me, that's a good site. On a lot of the sites, you've got to be careful because they're pet sites. And so if you go up there and say, hi, I'm raising rabbits for meat, they'll chase you out of there. At least that's what I found. So,
Well, Harriet, like I said, I got to go. I got so many folks up, but we'll holler at you next week.
All right. Thank you, Gary.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. So what do you feed your rabbits, Ryan? I was talking about raising a rabbit garden a little bit, and that's to offshoot pellets.
I mainly feed pellets. I do hay. I have no time to do a garden. I've tried. Right now, they're getting weeds. Like, right now, I've just tossed a bunch of, like, thistle in for them.
My grass is about 3 feet high. You want to come and cut it, you can have it. Now, what do you think about alfalfa? I fed mine alfalfa, and my rabbits started getting not so much sick. Some of them died, and I'm wondering if they had something on them. But when I went to the rabbit sites, they said, oh, you shouldn't feed a lot of alfalfa. It's got too high protein. They get buildups in their liver or their kidneys or something.
Yeah,
I'm not sure which it was, and then they die. I'm sorry?
I think it's like too much calcium, but yeah, it builds up the proteins into their liver and kidneys.
And so, I mean, you've got both sides of the thing, but grass hay is recommended free choice all the time. And pellets, but pellets are so freaking expensive.
If I had the land, I would probably be doing a lot more, you know, like hay, because I would just go out and make my own hay.
Right.
But living in town, pellets is how I have to go.
Right. They say you can feed them lawn trimmings and weeds, but don't mow your lawn and then throw it into the rabbits. Because
no.
Want
to get those little, you know, hammer push ones.
Yeah, I have a push mower actually just for that reason, and I have aside the old ones because now that I don't have horses right now, we used to go out and cut the back pasture, and then I could lay it to dry, and then I'd give it to the rabbits. But when I had the big garden, I was giving them carrot tops and carrots, and I did give them alfalfa. I just not tons. Grass hay over, I find, is kind of hard to find around here. It gets really expensive, and that's what people, that's their first choice to feed horses and such. So,
alfalfa hay, I only give that to my does when they're, you know, feeding the litter.
Kindled. Okay.
Yeah. I also give them, like, button clover.
So
that will break the milk.
Oh. I didn't know that. You want to be careful about feeding green foods. I lost a litter to bloat, which they ate. They got gassy. We fed them broccoli. Don't feed them broccoli. And lost the whole litter. They can get diarrhea. They can get all that. We give ours grain a little bit once in a while as a treat. But what I found is if I feed corn or things like that, then they expect it. And they'll dig. They'll dig in their deals trying
now,
to find it.
I put separate treat cups into their cages. So
okay.
They know that where their feet is only their feet. If they're going to get a treat, it's going to be over here.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And I give them a dried papaya or a dried pineapple.
Do you dehydrate it?
Well, right now, the papaya I don't have, so I just buy it. You can get it at the dollar store.
Dehydrated or dried? Dried.
Okay. Dried. It's just like whatever you buy. I buy it at the dollar store for like $1 for a bag.
Right.
It's just like, yeah, just dried papaya. But I thought about picking up a pineapple and dehydrating it and seeing what they think of it.
Well, I've heard they really like pineapple. They like banana.
They like the skins more.
Do they really? I've never tried the skin. I've heard that people just cut a little chunk off and throw it in there.
Yeah.
We feed pumpkin seeds to them to warm them. I feed dandelion in the spring. I feed plantain. I have comfrey. Comfrey kind of gets rid of the hairballs.
Yeah, three comfrey plants. They get some every, so often.
Right, you don't want to overfeed them. But let's see, what else do I feed? Willow branches, grass, weeds, fruit tree twigs I'll put in there, or leaves once in a while.
They love apple.
Yes.
Like the apple sticks.
Uh-huh.
That's
my
friend's tree, so when she trims up her apple tree, sticks and she'll toss them in, and they love to chew on them. They taste good, and they help with their teeth.
That's what we do, too. And I'll give them, I have pear or cherry. But you got to be careful if they're not sprayed. Like, if you're going to go get apple tree pairings from down below, because we have apple orchards everywhere here. You got to be sure they don't have pesticides on them. They haven't been sprayed.
Mm-hmm.
But
you can also give them pine cones.
Give them what?
Pine cones.
Oh, really? See, now
yeah.
That I did not know. And freaking, I have them everywhere. Now that I have no rabbits, and now I'm learning this. Great. So, what else can you suggest with rabbits? If you were talking to somebody who's brand new to rabbits but is considering getting a rabbit, what would you say?
Start small. Don't go overboard thinking you got to get this good deal on all of these rabbits. You're going to wear yourself out. Just get a trio. And it doesn't have to be anything special because you're learning. And
right.
Don't expect to have your babies all make it.
Get your babies what?
Have a whole litter make it. Or any of them make it when you first start out. Because when I first started, I was getting nothing. Like, I was having four or five out of a litter die because new mamas and me learning.
That's a bad combination. And that's a good advice. And that is on anything. If you're planning on doing this, start now. Because if you're prepping for shit hits the fan, it's just like gardening. If you don't know how to garden and then you think you're going to go out and throw out a garden, it's going to be this big, huge garden. If shit hits the fan, you're going to have drought, you're going to have hail, you're going to have rain, you're going to have deer, your garden's not going to grow, your seeds aren't viable. There's going to be all sorts of problems. Same thing with rabbits. And if you go on the backyard meat rabbit site, you'll see new people all the time. I lost the entire litter. My doe won't take all these different things. And a lot of people give up on rabbits because, we envision screwing like bunnies, pardon my language, but, and then lots and lots and lots of rabbits. But
yeah, no.
It doesn't always work that way. Like I said, I had a dry spell for the last 2 years. I have another friend that has rabbits besides Ryan, and he's got more rabbits than he knows what to do with. But he's on the East Coast. So it's, you got good seasons and bad seasons, and you got to prepare for that. Go on to the backyard meet rabbits and just watch. Just read the posts before you get rabbits and kind of familiarize yourself with it, because it can be expensive if you do it wrong. We fed strict pellets, and I had 10 rabbits, and 10 rabbits eat through a bag of pellets really fast, especially if they're wasting them, and or if your kids are just randomly throwing them at the cages. So, you know, do your research and study what you're doing. I was going to ask you, Ryan, too. I wanted to know about your cage sizes. Tell me about your setup. Well, you said you have open cages and...
They get 30 by 36. Cages.
30
now,
by 36?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can get 36 by 36. I just wasn't able to get any that size.
Uh-huh.
And it really depends on what you're breeding to. Like, mine are big, so I want the larger. Now, once my... And I have extra cages, so once my doe has weaned her litter, or, you know, they're between, like, around 7 weeks old, I pull
uh-huh.
her out, and I put her in a smaller cage so she can recover, and... the babies can keep using the big cage until it's kind of butcher.
Okay. Now, when you have litters, you keep them in with the mom. Do you have bigger cages with a run for your does and babies to keep them to 8 weeks, or do you just use the single cage?
I use the single cage. I don't
okay.
have. I would give them like a run to where they can get out, but I don't have the space. And being in town. I have cats. I've had a dog break into here. They didn't mess with my rabbits, but they did kill my turkey.
Right. I remember that.
Yeah.
And
I just don't want to, you know, ring the bell for the buffet.
The best rabbit cage I ever had, I had this one that was like a long run, but it had a door on each end, and then it had a little drop-down piece that you could close right in the center to make it two cages or open it up and make it one cage. And I really liked that one. But I've tried copying it and making other cages like that, and I never can get the same results as that one cage. It was just the right size, the right width. Everything was perfect on it.
Any size cage you want. I just buy pre-made, but you can make so many different types of cages, you know, multi-layered. You can do drop-down litter or nest boxes in the cage, so, you know, some does like that.
Uh-huh. And how much does a cage cost? Because I've always bought mine off of Craigslist and looked for deals.
That's pretty much how I've gotten mine. I bought a three-stacker condo of 24 by 30s. I'm going to use those for some grow-ups. I can put like two in each. I bought that for $40.
You got a what?
It's a stacker cage, so there's three cages.
Right.
They're 30 across, 24 inches deep, and I got it for $40 for all three cages.
On Craigslist?
Yeah. It was in Tri-City.
You suck. But that being said, you know I'm leaving, and if you want my cages, you can have them. But they're heavy, and they're wooden. But I do have that metal rack up there that I slide my cages in. If you want them, come up and get them.
I'm actually going to be just stackers, because I'm going to be tearing down my rabbit area.
Uh-huh.
My husband didn't build it the best. The roof is sagging.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm actually going to be sticking over to a Costco garage.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm going to get chunks of rebar. I'm going to get my husband to bend the top of them to make a loop, and I'm going to set them in the ground where each pole is. Then I'm going to get ratchet straps, and I'm going to ratchet strap around the pole down to that chunk of rebar, and that's going to hold that thing down.
Oh, yeah.
So even if I get wind with it being, you know, little carport type thing, it's not going to go anywhere.
So do you have the PVC carports with the tarps, or?
No, it's all metal. It's a metal frame.
Okay. And then did you build walls on it, or do you have just tarped off?
Well, what I have now, no, it's all wood. It's got a wooden roof and everything.
Okay. Well, and up here you have to. I've had a lot of, I had metal roofs, and then what I did on top of that is I took cattle panels and did arches over them and covered those with tarps because we get so freaking much snow that they were
kicking one of those old hickory sheds.
That's what I was thinking about doing in Florida, and then I could put an air conditioner, well, not air conditioner, but fans or something, and have windows open and do that. But the friend that has rabbits, he's up in Georgia, I believe, and he says it gets really, really hot. So what he does is he just has a shed open on three sides, and it has a roof. And so it can be open on all three sides to get the airflow, and then if it gets cold, he'll just drop down tarps and make false walls. But
yeah. I think I would love to do one of those hickory sheds if I'm still living in town, because you know I can nobody can see inside of it, and I have a neighbor who's not the nicest.
Yes. Oh. That's the other thing. Yeah, we all have that one neighbor. Okay, well, that's about all I got time for tonight. It's this has been Ryan, and if you guys want to talk, wait. I can't say that. There's another call. Hang on. Hello, caller 318.
Yes, me again.
Oh, you're back. I was
just
going
to
quit.
Yeah, I had somebody show up, so I had.
So I was just going to quit, but is there anything else that you have questions about rabbits, Gary?
No, actually, I just tuned in. I've been trying to tune in and see what the show was about. Saturday night, for some reason, it's the hardest night for me to tune in.
It's hard for everybody. They all have dates. It tells you all about my love life right now.
We've been married a long time, so I don't have to worry about that problem, but just between the kids and everything else going around, it's kind of a nonstop go. So
right. Aren't you? You're married too. Yeah, this is how I spend my Saturday night in my roofless house. But it's
It don't sound like you're gonna be too roofless for long, though.
No, I'm leaving in after next week is my last week here, and then I'm gone.
Okay, so I thought you was moving this weekend to Florida.
No, I had a yard sale this weekend, today and tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
And next weekend, I've got, in 3 days, I have 5 caterings in 3 days, which is going to be killer. And then I was going to leave on Monday. But after 5 caterings in 3 days, I'm thinking Monday I'll probably sleep. Possibly Tuesday I might sleep and make sure I've got my ducks in a row, and then I'm going to take off. So
I figure the weather's probably just a little bit better up there now than what it was.
It is. It's raining right now. It's all rainy and cold and wet. Windy.
Yeah, sure.
But
I think we got tropical storm warnings this week, but we're not sure if it's going to come up hit us or not yet. So.
Right. Well, I got a 7x14-foot cargo trailer, and so we're going to be loading it up this week to get ready to go, and I'll know more about it then. I was kind of holding out for cherry season because I wanted to pick some cherries and make some cherry jam before I left, because they don't have cherries, raspberries, or any of that stuff down where I'm headed, which is kind of a booger.
Crazy question, but what's the temperature up there where you're at?
Right now, I don't know, probably 65.
Oh, wow.
60. It's not bad. It's just really, it's just.
We're running an air conditioner and we're sweating.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is the hottest it's been up here for a long time. It's
well,
been
our summer is just kind of getting caught up to us. And I think today we was 90-something degrees with the heat index of 102, I think, is what we're supposed to be today.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And Florida
so,
is hotter than we are, so.
Well, I'm at the 3,500-foot level, too. So,
oh, okay.
It gets
it's
hot in the summer.
Where I'm at.
It's what?
77.
77, and we're about 5 to 10 degrees cooler usually, although I've seen it where it's been hotter up here than it was down there, so I don't know. It's kind of a weird thing. We've got...
Okay, so you've been down there in the summer months, know what it's like, or?
In Florida? Yeah, I went in August last year.
Oh, okay, okay.
And I went specifically in August, so it would be dog days, hot, humid, yucky, and it didn't bother me at all. Not at all. So I think it'll be fine.
Here for us, when I was younger, when we first moved down here, the hardest part for me was at night it felt like your pillow was damp, and it took a while to get used to that.
Yeah, you know, that would bother me, but we have air conditioning, and I'm putting in solar power, so I'll have air conditioning, because that's my one thing is I don't want to go in there and then die because it's so hot, humid all night long.
Well, if you're going to truly off-grid.
I'm working towards it.
You'll have to have a big battery bank and a very tiny AC unit that'll cut on and off in a small space to be able to run it tonight.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. I've got one of the... Yeah, that's you. We've been talking to you.
You what?
We've been talking to you about the solar.
I've talked to somebody once on it, and I've chatted with you a time or two.
And he's taken everything that he said, so that's what we're headed. But I'm moving down. We have about 15 to 20 acres, and it's pretty much raw land. He has a section where he's made it into his own personal junkyard, which I'm going to rectify, but we have to start a lot of the prepping from the ground up. And so one of the things that I was going to do in the future is when we start a project, I'm going to do before and after, and then I'm going to run it on the show so we can talk about starting your own homestead, how you build it up, and what it worked for me versus what worked for other people. So I'm hoping
I'm actually fixing to order a 12-volt pump for a small well and see how it works on that. It'll be solar operated.
Oh, that's cool. So that's the plan for the next couple weeks.
Believe you have my number, don't you?
Yes, sir. I don't know, but the other guy does.
Don't be afraid to call me, so.
I appreciate that, Gary, very much. Thank you. So this is about it, I think, for tonight. We got Yak in here. But I want to thank Ryan from Wolfsong Homestead and Rabbitry for calling in and talking about rabbits, even though I was the mouthy one tonight. And, Gary, thank you for calling in.
Oh, no problem.
Next week, we'll probably do something else. I've got a guy hitting on me to do candle making. And I would like to do that, but I'm going to be on the road probably the next week. I'm going to have one more recorded show, and then that's it. And after that, I'll be on the road. So my second Saturday, not next Saturday, but the one after, will probably be on the road. And then I'll start working on more prepping. I may have Gary on to talk about solar. And I may have Ryan come on and talk about a few other things. Just kind of, she makes jam. We've done a lot of different things. So, and try to get some people that are living this life. So until then, I would like to thank you both. But this has been Ladies of the Watch. We're on Contra Radio Network, and John is on tomorrow night with his show. Don with Contra Don is on Fridays with the political aspect in our society right now. And I would like to say thank you. You guys have a good night, okay?
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Oh, what a great audience. Let's dim the lights for this next one. Nope, too much. Ah, there it is. Got to get things just right. Like Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay, and we help you find coverage options that fit your budget. And now, the mood is right. Wait, the lights are back on again. Trudy, can you? And now it's completely dark.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Total Wine & More. It's much more than a wine store. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
When people talk about Total Wine & More, they get a little carried away. We're just a big, friendly place run by people with a passion for wine and beer. See, we travel the world to find the best wines from the best regions, and we sell them at the lowest prices anywhere.
And friendly, helpful experts at every turn.
You know what? Maybe we are the eighth wonder of the world.
Shop in-store or online at TotalWine.com.